daf is daf Zion. So we got around five lines down. The Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, hi, hashenis, my avilei. So we had a discussion on yesterday's daf about Bechol Shana Vashana and Shenis to teach us the same halacha. We need two different psukim. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, he only needed the word Bechol Shana Vashana to teach you the halacha. So for him, hi, hashenis, my avilei. What did he do with the word Shenis? What was the drasha that he made? And so the Gemara says, "Mi bar leich needed lichad Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda." Dam Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, rather, b'tchila kavol b'shushan. Initially, after the story of Purim, they had established the Yanta Purim only in Shushan. Uvasof, in the end of the day, b'chol ha'olam kulo, they expanded the celebration of Purim throughout the entire world. So v'shenis means that there were two stages in this setting up of Purim. One, the first time in Shushan, and then afterwards, all over. That's what he learned from Shenis. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Shalcha lehem Esther lechachamim. Esther said to Chachamim, requesting from them, Kavuni ledaros, please establish me and my nace, this whole story of Purim, please establish it, ledaros, let's make this as a celebration forever. So what do they say back there? Shalcha lehem sent, Kina at me'oreres aleinu levein ha'umos. By doing this, you're going to now ignite all this jealousy that the Jews are being happy, they're rejoicing over the defeat of the non-Jews, and that's going to instigate them, and that's a terrible thing. So Shal Chalem, she sent back to them, not to worry, because Kvark Suvani al Divrei HaYomim l'malchei Madai Upras. I already told them, everyone knows about in the Divrei HaYomim of the Persian and Madai Divrei HaYomim, it's already recorded there, so there's nothing they don't know, so nothing to lose. Let's set up a Yantif. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chaviva, these four great Amoraim, and Masnu Bekulei Seder Moed, and all of Moed, Kol Kei Gavna Zuga, Chalufei Rabbi Yochanan, Umar Rabbi Yonasan. Throughout Moed, this group of four was replaced, that Rabbi Yochanan was replaced with Rabbi Yonasan. So either way, there were four great Amoraim. So what do they say? They said as follows. Shalchu lehem Esther. Esther sent l'chachamim, Kasvuni l'doros, write me down, write me as a Megillas Esther, write it for generations to come. Shalchula, they said back there, we can't. There's a pasuk that goes against it. Halo kasafti lecha shlishim, that you can only write the events of Amalek three times, shlishim below rivayim, not four times. Where are the three times? It says twice in Chumash and once in Nevim. Twice in Chumash is found at the end of Parshas Bishalach Vayavo. Amalek is one. At the end of Kisaitse, which is the Parsha of Zachor, that's number two. And the third appearance is in Nevi'im with the story of Shaul. So we only have three events that are allowed to be recorded. To create a fourth event, to create a fourth sefer in Megillas Esther, would be a violation of this pasuk. Ad, says the Gemara, Ad shematu lo mikra kasav b'Torah, until they found a source in the Torah that it in fact may be written down in Megillah. What's that source? So the pasuk says, this is pasuk at the end of Bishalach in the section of Vayavo Amalek. It says, Kasav zos zikaron, write this down as a remembrance, but sefer in a sefer. So what do you mean? Write this in the memory in a sefer. There are a number of words to darshan. Kasav zos, write this is masha kasav kan uva mishnah Torah. That which is written in sefer shmos, bishalach, and that which is written in kiseitze, you should write it down. That's kasav zos. That's one drasha. Those are lumped together. Zikaron masha kasav benavim. That's a reference to that which is in the story of Shaul. And b'sefer, that's telling me Masha Kasav b'Megillah, that you should write a separate sefer in Megillah's Esther, so we have a drasha that the Megillah should be written down in a sefer. Ketanai, and the Gemara says this is in fact really a machlokas tanaim. It says Kasav Zos, the Tana says, the Brisa says, Kasav Zos, Masha Kasav Kan, what's written here. So this is actually referring to only Parsha B'Shalach. It's not including Kiseitse in this according to this Tana. Kasav Kan, that's which is in B'Shalach. Zikaron is Masha Kasav B'Mishnah Torah. Write down the Zikaron and Parsha Kiseitse. And B'Sefer is telling me Masha Kasav B'Nevim with the story of Shaul, Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. So according to Yeshua, there's no available pasuk to tell me a second, a fourth drasha of Megillas Esther. But Rabbi Elazar HaModai Omer, no, Kasav Zos means write this, Masha Kasav Kan Uva Mishnah Torah. That's all one drasha. The two times mentioned in the Chumash is one drasha. That means Zikaron is Masha Kasav B'Nevim, and B'Sefer is available Masha Kasav B'Megillah. That's Megillas Esther. So it's Machlokas Tanoim whether or not Megillas Esther should have been written down, or whether it's allowed to be written down or not. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Esther eino metame yadayim. The Megillas Esther is not metame hands. What does metame hands have to do with anything? So the Gemara in the second parak of Shabbos talks about that they said, and if a person touches cloth of any of the Sifrei Torah, it's metame a person. Why is it metame a person? Because what used to happen is they used to have the locker rooms in the base of Mikdash. The Kohanim would store the chuma there. Now the chuma would attract rats and mice. So when the rats and mice would eat away at the chuma, they would also store their Kisvei Kodesh there as well, the Sifrei Torah. So the rats would eat away at the Megillah and ruin it. So they wanted to make sure that no one stored any of their Kisvei Kodesh next to food. So they said, you know what? Kisvei Kodesh is all metame. You put next to your chuma, it's going to make your chuma tuma. No coin wants the chuma being tame. So they never put it next to the chuma. This way to protect the Kisvei Kodesh from rats or mice or rodents eating away at it. So that's halacha, that all Kisvei Kodesh is metame es yadayim. It's metame, a person who touches it with their hand, they have to wash their hands again. So that's only the Gabe Kisvei Kodesh, that which is part of the books of Tanakh. But Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Esther eino metame es yadayim. But Esther does not have a din of Kisvei Kodesh, which means if a person touches it, then you're not tame, your hands are not tame. We're going to go through the sugi in just a second, but there is a discussion in the Ramah. We know you're not supposed to touch a cloth of a Sefer Torah. If you need to, you use a talus, you pull it. It's a discussion in the Ramah. Ramah says there is a chumra that a person should also not touch Megillas Esther with their hand unless they wash it first. So those who carry, have a cloth of a Megillas Esther, and they're using it to follow along perm night or perm day, they should make sure to wash their hand prior to touching it, because it has this quasi-din of being metame es yadayim. So that's a way to get around it. Ramah.
What's the idea behind that? A lot of people have the cloth and they read it out of the cloth.
It's a different discussion, but in case the Baal Kori misses a word or you don't hear a word exactly, so you could get it within your Megillah. So then the Gemara says, so is that really true? You got a question?
So is that kind of almost a refutation? So the last Gemara was saying that, you know, look, we have a source, let's make it part of Tanakh. So this is saying that it's not quite...
Exactly. This is not part of Tanakh. This is the assumption. Right. So that's what the first opinion says, that Shmuel holds Esther's eino mitames yadayim. The Meimer, is this to suggest to Savar Shmuel Esther lav beruach hakodesh nemra? The Gemara right now is assuming that those two are connected to each other. That if you assume it's not mitames yadayim, that means it wasn't written beruach hakodesh. That's why those two are connected. But it can't be true, because Hamar Shmuel, doesn't Shmuel clearly say Esther was beruach hakodesh nemra? It was said beruach hakodesh, and the Gemara says you're right. He does say that it was said, but nemra, nemra likros below nemra lichtov. It was said beruach hakodesh to be discussed. That Torah, the whole story of Megillas Esther, was meant to be passed on from generation to generation. Al pi misora Torah shebaal peh, but it wasn't intended of being written. That's what he means by this. Okay, so the Gemara now says meisiveh. Rabbi Meir Omer Koheles Einu Metames Yadayim. Rabbi Meir assumes that Koheles is not Metames Yadayim, and there's a machlokus whether Shir Hashirim is or is not. Rabbi Yossi understands differently. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shir Hashirim Metames Yadayim. Everybody agrees Shir Hashirim is Metames Yadayim, and the machlokus is about Koheles. Comes along the third opinion, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Koheles is Mekule Beishamai Umechurme Beis Hillel. That's a debate. And Beishamai is Mekel here. We know normally Beis Hillel is the one Mekel. Beishamai is the one Machmir. This is one of the exceptions, one of the six exceptions where Beishamai is actually more Mekel, where you would think it's not Metamei Tadayim, and Beis Hillel is Machmir, that it is Metamei Tadayim. About Rus, V'shir Hashir, and V'Esther, these three, everybody, this opinion assumes Metamei Tadayim, it is. So these are the three different shittas. So the Gemara says, Hu Damar Krabi Yeshua. So who's Rabbi Yeshua? So Rabbi Yeshua above, we had the machlokas above whether or not there was permission to write this Megillas Esther or not write Megillas Esther. So the Rabbi Yeshua is the one who says there is no permission to write Megillas Esther. He's the one who says that, and therefore that's according to this last opinion, the opinion that holds that Ruach, that Esther is not Metamei Tadayim, is going according to the opinion that we didn't have any heter to write Megillas Esther. Gemara now quotes a similar brayis, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Menashe, Omer Koheles Eina metames yadayim. Why not? What's the kolas? Is one of the kisvei kodesh? Why is it not metames yadayim? And so the Gemara explains mipnei shechachmasa shel Shlomo. This is not the ruach hakodesh. This is Shlomo is a very wise man. So this was came from his own mind, and that does not qualify as one of the kisvei kodesh, and therefore won't be metame es hayadayim. So Amr Lo, they say back to Rabbi Shimon, V'chizo bilvad Amar. Is this the only thing he said? V'alo kfar nemar. Doesn't it right say, V'aydav eshlo shishalaf in mashal? He said over 3,000 mashalim. V'yomer, it says further, al tosiv al dvar, and don't speak any further. Sounds like that all this was really coming from Ruach HaKodesh. They put a limit on him, but he had an endless amount of source of wisdom he was able to share because it was Ruach HaKodesh. So how can we suggest that Koelis is not Ruach HaKodesh? And the Gemara wants to clarify, Ma'iva Omer, why do you need a second pasuk to prove to us that Shlomo had Ruach HaKodesh? Because V'chitem, if you're going to tell me all the 3,000 mashalim he made, Meimer Tuva Amar, Dibai Yechtiv, V'Dibai Lo Yechtiv, that he knew a lot of different things and he didn't have to write it. He had the option of writing it down, or the added option if he didn't want to write that down. But the inclusion of Mishlei was not because Ruach HaKodesh, that's the decision he made. So Tashma al Tosef al Dvar, when it says don't add any further, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Shlomo don't add any further, that tells us everything he had written up until then was with the consent and it was vis-a-vis Ruach HaKodesh. Mar now quotes a Braisa Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. It was written Ruach HaKodesh. How do we know this? So the Gemara is going to give a series of proofs. So Rabbi Eliezer thinks, how do I know? Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Haman Belibo, that Haman said in his mind. Now, how in the world would we know that he said it in his mind if it weren't written Ruach HaKodesh? Must be that we know what Belibo is because it was Ruach HaKodesh. Rabbi Kiva Omer Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra, how does he know? Shenemar, Vati Esther Noses Chayin Ve'enei Kol Re'eha, because she found favor in anyone who saw Esther. How do we know that everyone who saw Esther liked her? Must be it was written by Ruach HaKodesh.
Could be hyperbole.
The Gemara seems to take it seriously. Then the Rabbi Meir Omer, and Meir says, Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra, Shenemar Vayivada Hadavar LeMordechai, and it was known to Mordechai. How was it known to Mordechai? Must be there's a certain Ruach HaKodesh taking place there.
I think it was a huge miracle.
It certainly was a nace, but the fact is, when it was written in Megillah, were they able to know things that only people through Ruach HaKodesh could have known? Yeah, granted, it was a nace, but the fact that it incorporated certain halachas, that who wrote it, was it written with the Ruach HaKodesh, that we don't know. No one contests that it was a nace. But they want to know when it was written, does it incorporate certain things that you only would have known had you had Ruach HaKodesh? Then Rabbi Yossi ben Dermaskis Omer, Esther Ruach HaKodesh Shenemar, he agrees but brings a different proof. It says Shenemar Uvabiza lo shalchu es yadam. They didn't take any of the spoils from throughout the world. How do they know that? Maybe someone did. That's a pretty the whole world. No one took biza, and we could say that with great certainty. Must be it was written by Ruach HaKodesh. Comes along Shmuel. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, "E hava hasam. Had I been there, hava mina milsa da adifa bin kula. I would have given a better proof than all the Tanaim. Even though Shmuel was only in Amora." He is saying that he would have brought the best proof. What's his proof? Shenemar, it says, Kimu v'kiblu, that they accepted it, they were fulfilling it. Kimu l'mala, masha kiblu l'mala. Up in Shemayim, they accepted what we were makabel down here below. So how do they know what took place up in Shemayim? It must be, it was written in Ruach HaKodesh. So these are around six different proofs how we know that Megillah was written by Ruach HaKodesh. So Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Ihava Hasam, had I been there, I read that already fine. Amar Rava, Rava says, L'chulu Islu Pircha. All the suggestions have a question. There's a flaw in the proof. Levar Mid Shmuel, with the exception of Shmuel, the Lesle Pircha. There is no question you can ask on Shmuel's proof. So what are the questions we have on each of them? Rabbi Eliezer Svarhu. Rabbi Eliezer was explaining that Vayomer Haman Belibo. Haman said in his mind. How do we know what he said in his heart? That was a Gemara. That's a Svarhu. That was everyone. I could have guessed that. That's what Haman felt about himself. He was such a Balgaiva to Lahave Inish Dechash Lamalke Kivase. In those days, everybody agreed there's no one as high as Haman was. So Vahai Ki Kamafish Tuva Amar Daiti Nafshi Kamar. So whatever he spoke, he was speaking about himself. That was a clear understanding. You didn't need a Ruach HaKodesh to know what Haman was thinking. The Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's proof was that she was Nose Esther, Nose Tzchein Me'enei Kol Ra'eha. So the Gemara says, how do we know that? And Dilma, Dilma Krabi Elazar Damar Milamit Shekol Echav Yachav Midmasalo Kumaso. That each person looked like their people, and therefore, so what's the proof then?
So of course everyone.
But everyone was claiming that Esther didn't say where she came from. So therefore, since everyone claimed that, oh, she was part of my nation, it must be that everyone liked her because that was she was Persian, she was Moroccan, whatever she was, they all felt that she was hers, and that shows no sechein b'chol ro'eha. So then the Gemara says, "Avad Rabbi Meir." That which Rabbi Meir says, "Dilma Kurebi Chir." Rabbi Meir's proof was what from what he had said, because Va'ivada Hadavar LeMordechai, it was known, became known to Mordechai. That was his proof. So Gemara says, "How do you know?" Dilma Kurebi Chir Bar'Abad Amar Big Sam V'Sarah Shnei Tarshim Hayu, that they were busy talking, and that's how Mordechai knew. There's no Ruach HaKodesh necessarily taking place, and for that reason, it wasn't a proof that he. That was written by Ruach HaKodesh.
The coloring book, you see him overhearing them talk.
Ah, very good. Okay, so then the Gemara says...
Maybe it's the other one.
Vahad, the Rebbe Yossi.
The Gemara looking at Mordechai is the other one, where he finds out that Haman has made the plan to eradicate the Jews.
I think it's going on the Big Sam Viserys part.
The
Big yeah. So then the Gemara says, Vahad, the Rebbe Yossi ben Dermaskis, that which he says, Dilma, so what was his proof? His proof was from... When it said in the pasuk, "Uvabiza lo shalchu es yadam," so how do we know? Dilma pristike shador. Maybe they sent messengers throughout, and in Echanami they did their due diligence, and they found out that in Echanami no one took from the biza. So all those have some level of a pircha, but the Shmuel vade leste pircha. There is no question one can ask on Shmuel. And Amar Ravina, Ravina says, "Hainu dami inchi." That's what people would say. Tava chada pilpalta harifta mimile tzani kari. Greater is one very sharp pepper than a basket full of melons. Shmuel was a sharp one, and he was better than all the sweet tanaim who preceded him. Rav Yosef Amar Mehach, Rav Yosef said, from here I know that Baruch HaKodesh, it says, V'imei Purim Ha'ela lo yavru mitoch ha'yehudim, is never going to fail from being celebrated by the Yidden. How could he make such a prophetic statement? Must be it was Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Omer Mehach, he brought a final proof. It says, V'zircham lo Yosef Mizaram, and its memory will not cease from their descendants. That too is a prophetic statement implying that it was written Baruch HaKodesh. Okay. How is what brought out of order?
As opposed to when we were bringing all the different answers.
Oh, these were later Amoraim, so it's probably after this conversation. Gotcha. So then the Gemara says, Matanos Levyonim. So Matanos Levyonim, we mentioned the Mishnah before, the concept of Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, the Ein Bains, was the only difference between the two Adars was Mikra Megillah Matanos Levyonim. So let's talk a moment about Matanos Levyonim. Gemara quotes a famous Brayis that we all learn when we were younger, Tanir of Yosef. Mishloach Manos Ish. Lirei'ehu, two gifts to a friend, shteimanos lishecha, two gifts to one person, two gifts does not mean what many think, two brachas, you don't need two brachas, you just need two different items. Machlok is how to define the two different items, but according to some poskim, we use borer as a model. So for example, by borer, let's say you've got dark meat and white meat on the same plate and mixed together, to separate those two would be a violation of borer. So some say if you send two types of chickens, one is a dark meat, one's a white meat, that's considered shnei minim for the halachas of shalach manos. Others don't think so. Others say you need a greater difference than that. But everyone is in agreement. Two brachas is not a requirement. If you have two different brachas, granted it's going to work. If you have a hagafen and you have a motzi, that certainly does work. But you don't need that. You could send two different bottles of wine, two different types of loaves of bread, two pieces of meat. As long as they're different, that qualifies one to another person. Matanos Levyonim, says the Gemara, that's what that's quoted in the Pasuk. Matanos is plural, Levyonim is plural, Shtei Matanos, Lishnei Vnei Adam. Two gifts to two people, which mean one gift per person, totaling two people, two gifts. Rabbi Yehuda Nisar, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Nehashadar Leili Rabbi Oshaya, he sent a gift to Rabbi Oshaya. Atma de Egla Tlasa, a third of a calf, a third to its mother. Apparently, the third calf born to the cow is a very nice, juicy piece of meat. So they sent the piece of that meat to Rabbi Oshaya, the garba, the chamra, and a bottle of wine. So shalach le, Rabbi Oshaya sent back to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Thank you so much. Kiyamta banu Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. You fulfilled the mishloach manos and ishoreyu umatanos levyonim. You accomplished both, because Rabbi Oshaya says, "I'm an ani, so you sent me two gifts. So that's shalach manos." on top of the fact you also fulfilled Matanos Lev Yonim. This has become a big discussion in the poskim about killing two birds with one stone. With one mice, are you able to perform two different mitzvahs? So this gets into discussion. Ein osim mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. We don't do. We don't try to lump together multiple mitzvahs in one maisa. But this is an example the poskim discuss. Gemara then says, Rabba Shadrla, he sent Limari Barmar Biyadabai, that Rabba used the Bai as a shliach, sending to Mari Barmar Milay Taska Dakshiva, which is a basket full of dates. Umilay Kasa Kimcha Davshuna, and also a cup filled with flour of roasted wheat. Amrle Abai, Abai says to him, Hashta Amar Mari. So now Abai, when Abai reports back to Rabba, Rabba sent him, Abai says, Amar Mari, Mari says, Ichak lemalku leheve, if an ani comes to a king, Dikula mitzavrei lo nachis, does he not take the basket off his neck that he used to feed animals? Meaning you're giving me, this isn't for a king to send me such a small gift of the dates and flour, that's not going to qualify as shalach manos. You have to send according to your means. So hada shadi le'ihu. So then, Mari Bar Mar sent back to Rabba, Malay Taska Nizangvila, a basket full of ginger, Umle Kasa de Pipalta Aricha, and a basket full of peppers. Amar Bai Bai says, Hash Amar Mar, now Rabba says, Anashadale Chulia, I send him sweet foods, and Ayu Shadale Churfa, he sent me spicy foods, bitter foods. So there is some debate back and forth about what the people should have sent. Sweet versus spicy. A lot versus a little. Okay. So Amar Bai Bai says, Kinafki mi be mar, have a savana. When I left the house of Mar, Bai says, he's telling, when he left Rabba's house, he was very full. He left Rabba's house very full when he went to the Shlichus to Mari. Kimatil Hasan, when he got to Mari's house, Krivali Shisin Tsoi, the Shisin Mine Kedera. He gave me 60 plates with 60 different types of foods. Vachli b'hu shisin plugi, and I ate 60 pieces of each of them. So one of each. I ate a lot, even though I was full when I left. Ubishula basraisa, and the last thing he gave me, havakar leit tzli keder. It was tzli keder, which is a pot roast of some sort. Ubay lemechat tzara basra, and I wanted to even eat the plate along with it. It was so tasty. I wanted to eat the pottery plate. So Amar Abai Abai says, hainu dami inchi, that's what people would say. Kofin anya v'lo yada. Poor person doesn't know when he's hungry. Inami, alternately, ravcha lebesi mashchiach. A person, there's always room for sweet, always room for dessert after a person is full. Gemara now says, Abai bar Avin, Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, these two, mechalfu sudasai lehadade, they switch, they exchange meals with each other. They sent shalach manos, one sent to the other, other sent to the other, and they fulfilled the mitzvah that way. Amar Rava, Rava says, Mechai v'nish lebesumi v'puri, as we know, that person has to drink a lot on Purim to get drunk, ad de'lo yada bein ar haman lebar morachai, barach morachai, until he cannot know the difference between cursing Haman and blessing Mordechai.
Is it just saying the words, or?
No, it's a machlokas how to read this, but really to understand the words. So then Rabba, Rabbi Zeir, av de sudas Purim, bahade hadade. So these two great Amarim would have suda with each other 1 year. And the famous story, Basim, they got very drunk, and come Rabba shechted Rabbi Zeira, and Rabba got up, and he, whatever reason, he shechted Rabbi Zeira. Lamacha, the next day, boy Rachmi Vachi, the next day, he davened, and he brought him back to life. The Shana Amarle, the next year, Rabba says, oh, Nisi Mar v'navid sudas perm, let's have sudas perm together, we had such a good time last year. Amarle, he says, lo b'chal shayta v'shayta m'chash nisa, not every year will we experience a nice, no thank you. So Amar Rava, Rava says now, Sudas Purim Shachla Balaila. Let's say a person eats a Sudas Purim at night time. Lo Yatsi De Chavasa. He does not fulfill his obligation of eating a Sudas Purim. My time, why not? It says in Pasuk, Yimei Mishnah V'Simcha Ksiv. Yimei Dafka during the daytime is there Mishnah, but not Balaila. Rav Ashi Hava Yosef Kameh, the Rav Kano. Once Rav Ashi was sitting down, Nogav L'Asir Bana, it was very late, and the Talmidim didn't come to him. Amrle, Rav Ashi said to Rav Kana, my time lo aser Rabbanan. Why are the Rabbanan not coming to me? It's nighttime. And where's the Suda? Dilma treated with Suda's Purim, perhaps. They're busy with a Purim, Rav Kana suggested. Amrle, can't be. V'lohava Efshir, l'mecha b'urta. It's not possible they could eat the Suda at nighttime. Amrle, lo shmi le lemara hai damarava. Did you not hear what Rava says? Suda's Purim, shachla b'layla lo yatsu de chavasa. So Rav Kana says to Rav Ashi, can't be. You can't be having the Suda at nighttime. You're not yotsu the Suda at nighttime. Amrle, Rav Ashi says back to him, Amrle in. So he says, did he really say that? Yes, he really said that. Satani Munei Arba Zimnin, he had Rav Ashi learn it from Rav Kanda 40 times in a row. The dummy leg commanded the monarch Mekise, and then it was secured in his pocket. It was put to memory after hearing it 40 times over. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us now, Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbos El Ochel Nefesh Bavad. The only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, we know you can't do Melacha on Shabbos, you can't do Melacha on Yom Tov. The one difference is Ochel Nefesh Bavad. You may do Melacha on Yom Tov if it's related to Ochel Nefesh, to that of eating. Fine, so then there are many differences. Of all these Ein Beins, there are many differences. For example, there's an Ein Bein here, Tosa points out. Another difference is, it's not really only Ochel Nefesh. If a person violates a Melacha of, let's say, Boer's not a great example, it might be Mother Gozes. So Gozes, you can't pull out hair on Shabbos or Yontif. So there's a difference that on Shabbos, one's Chayv Skila, and for violating on Yontif, you're Chayv Alav only, Malkos. So there's a difference in terms of the punishment, but in terms of, so there are other differences, but the Mishnah sometimes only picks out one major difference, even though there's also a major difference, it's not really an exhaustive list of the Ein Beins. Carrying would be another example as well. Chutzah also. Chutzah is, but that's related to Ochel Nefesh as well, though. Chutzah is not permitted. It has to be really tzarach for certain needs. You can't just carry. People think on Yom Tov, if there's no air, you can just carry wherever you want. Not true. The Gemaras and Rishonim talk about it has to be for a certain tzarach. But just stam to carry Yom Tov doesn't work. So then the Gemara says, Hol inin machshir Ochel Nefesh zeviz eshaven. So that would imply, if it has to do with preparing for the food, not the food itself, preparations to make the knife sharper or to fix a pot, that would be equal, which means, just like you cannot do machshirei ochel nefesh on Shabbos, so too you can't do machshirei ochel nefesh on Yontif either. And Gemara says, then, if that's the case, masnisin is the low, k'Rabbi Yehuda, cannot be in accordance with their Yehuda. The Sanya, Brisa tells us, that ein ben Yontif l'Shabbos el ochel nefesh, Rabbi Yehuda matir af, Machshir Ochel Nefesh, he permits on Yontif even to prepare the utensils needed for preparing the food. So my time at the Tanakhama, why do they exclude Machshir Ochel Nefesh? So it explains, Amar Kra, who will Machshiro? It says in the Pasuk, only who? The Pasuk reads that, L'achashir Yechel L'chol Nefesh, who levado yas yas elachem, only it, only Ochel Nefesh is permitted, but Machshir Ochel Nefesh is not permitted. That's the Shita of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lachem L'chol Tzarchechem. Lachem, it's Ochel Nefesh for you. Whatever you need to have Ochel Nefesh, even that means sharpening a knife and fixing the pot, that's all included in the heter of Ochel Nefesh according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'idach, what do the Tanakhama, what do they do with Na'ami HaKsiv Lachem? How do they interpret the word Lachem? Lachem v'lo lovdei kochavim, Lachem v'lo l'klavim. You're only allowed to cook on Yantif for yourself and not for a goy, for yourself and not for dogs. This is very applicable. There happens to be a very interesting counterintuitive distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov about inviting goyim over on Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Shabbos, you're allowed to invite a goy over. There's no halachic problem, hashkafically maybe, but you're allowed to have a goy over on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to have a goy over. Why? Because there's a chashash lest you cook more, because you're cooking for yourself already. So if I'm cooking more on Yom Tov, I'm cooking for them as well. That's a problem of lachem v'lo l'ovdei kochavim. So that's a shayla that comes up.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think that you'd be more nervous on Shabbos because right. You might be worried that a guy might accidentally start keeping Shabbos.
No. So then the Gemara says, "V'idach nami." There's another issue as well. What about the other one? Haksiv hu. What if it says the word hu? How do you do the word hu? Ksiv hu, v'ksiv lachem. So how do you do hu limits? Lachem includes whatever you need. So the Gemara says, "Kan v'machshirin she'efshar la'soson me'av yontif, kan v'machshirin she'efshar La soson merav yantiv." It depends. If it's an item that could have been done erav yantiv and you didn't do it, then you may not prepare it on yantiv. But if it's an item that could not have been prepared before yantiv, you had no choice, so then you are allowed to fix that machshir ochel nefesh on yantiv itself. That's the drasha. So for example, what the Rashi says, let's say you have a knife that broke on yantiv, so you couldn't fix it before yantiv. It wasn't broken before yantiv. It only broke on yantiv. That's an example, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where you may fix it even on Yantiv. But let's say it was broken from before Yantiv already, and you were just too lazy, you didn't fix it before Yantiv. That's a case where you cannot fix it on Yantiv. New Mishnah tells us now, and continuing the Ein Beins now, Ein Bein Shabbos Yom Kippurim Ela Shezez Adonah B'Yodei Adam Vezez Yodonah B'Karis. That Shabbos and Yantiv, and Yom Kippur rather, are equal across the board. What's the difference? The difference is that if you violate, let's say, Hotzah on Shabbos, one would get Skila. If he had Edim Vasra. If one were to do that on Yom Kippur, he would only get a punishment, not only, but it'd be punishment of Kares, which is not going to be not implemented by Beis Din. It's a Kares Bidei Shemayim. So the Gemara then says, Ahal inin ma tashlumim zeh v'zeh shavim. With respect to tashlumim, they're equal. What does tashlumim mean? Tashlumim means there's a concept called kumle, or others say kimle midirabi bine. You boys know what that means? You learned that yet? Kimle midirabi bine? No. Kimle midirabi bine means if a person violates two averus at the same time, with two different punishments, one a more severe punishment, one a lesser punishment, you always get the greater of the two. So let's say a person shoots a guy and kills him in his shirt, right through his shirt. So he rips the guy's shirt, but also kills the guy. So the halacha is that he doesn't have to pay for the shirt, because once he's getting, the guy is now a roteach. He's going to get killed for murdering Reuven. So once you get the kill for murdering Reuven, you don't have to pay the monetary ripping of the shirt. So with regards to tashlumim, it's the same. Meaning what? If a person violates Shabbos, he lights up someone's property, and he violates Shabbos. Well, Havar is not a good example. But let's say I stole someone's property and I cooked his meat for him. I stole. So I cooked his meat. So I am chayv on Shabbos skila for Bishul, but I don't have to pay him back because the misa skila of Bishul overrides the need for tashlumim. So same thing happens of Yom Kippur. If one were to do that on Yom Kippur, it's kimle b'drabi minei, there's a patur. The misa is a patur of the tashlumim. That would seem to be the same across the board for Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, "Mani Masnisin, who is the author? Who's the Tana that authored our Mishnah? It must be none other than Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, the famous Shita in the world of Kimle with Rabbi Minei. What does he say? The Sanya, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana hayaoseh Yom Kippurim kishabbos letashlumim. That Rabbi Nechunya equated the halachas of Yom Kippur and Shabbos with respect to the patur of tashlumim. Ma Shabbos mischay benafsho upater min atashlumim. Just like Shabbos, one is chayv for violating mlacha, and the result is he's pater from paying because of kimle b'drabi minei. So af Yom Kippurim mischay benafsho, one violated an isser on Yom Kippur, and chayv misa, it also is pater min hatashlumim. So he authored our Mishnah because he again equates Yom Kippur to that of Shabbos. Marna quotes a Mishnah. I think it's a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Makos. So Mishnah says Tanan. The Hasam over there in Maseches Makos, Kol Chayave Krisus, Shalaku Niftaru Midei Krisasan. When a person does an Isser, that results in Karis. And let's say, for whatever reason, Bezin ends up giving him Malkos for that, that Malkos actually exempts him from the Karis he would have otherwise received from Shemayim. So it's interesting way to get around Karis, by getting Malkos. So the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Mishnah goes on to say, Shenemar, how do I know? V'nikla achecha le'necha, that nikla lashon of Malkus, similar lashon, that v'nikla achecha le'necha, kevin shalaka, once a person gets Malkos, harehu ke'achicha, he's considered like your brother, which means he no longer has a din of Karis. Malkos exempts the Isser of Karis, the punishment of Karis. That's all Divrei Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. Shamar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, chalukin alav chaveirava, the friends of Rabbi Nechunya argue on him, are Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. They don't think that's the case, that Malkos does not exempt Karis. So Amr Rava says, Amri Bei Rav, they said in the base measures of Rav, Tanina, Ein Ben Yom Kippurim L'Shabbat, Tzal Shuz Ezez Zidon HaKar, B'dei Adam Vezez Zidon HaMek B'Karis, Vim Isa, Idi V'Idi B'dei Adam Hu. If it's really true that Malkos were to be, if Malkos were to be given for a person with chayv karis, and it exempts a person from karis, so now Yom Kippur, every karis can also be given through Malkos, which means every karis can also be bidei adam. So what really comes out here is that just like Shabbos is bidei adam, Yom Kippur also is subject to bidei adam, because you could give Malkos as a substitute for karis. So from the fact that Mishnah doesn't say idi v'idi bidei adam, rather it says Shabbos is bidei adam, and Yom Kippur is bidei karis, must be that our Mishnah argues with this concept, that Malkos does not substitute for Karis. So Amar Rav Nachman, Hai Mani Rabbi Yitzhaki, Amar Malkos, B'chai V'Krisus Laka, he must be the opinion that holds that Malkos does not substitute for Krisus. Desani, as it says, Rabbi Yitzhak Omer, Chayav V'Krisus B'chlal Hayu, V'lamu Yatsu Karis B'Achosa, why did it single out Achosa to tell me that Achosa gets some Karis? Ladun B'Karis, V'loba Malkos, to really stress, to emphasize that Achosa, you get Karis and only Karis, nothing else. Malkos does not substitute, and therefore our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yitzchak, that Malkos does not apply to Yom Kippur. Well, alternatively, the Gemara suggests, and this is how the daf ends, Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tamer Rabbanan. Even if you assume, like the Rabbanan, that Malkos can replace Karis, that's not a lichatchila. That's only if it had happened, but we don't prescribe that. Therefore, Zeh Iker Zadon B'Dei Adam, V'Zeh Iker Zadon B'Dei Karis. When Shabbos, the Iker punishment of Shabbos is Skila B'Dei Adam, and for Yom Kippur, the Iker punishment is B'Dei Karis, Einachanami B'Dei Adam. Malkos could exempt you from the Karis, but still the Iker punishment is that of Karis. Okay, we'll stop here. Looks like